Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
So you cannot be a spiritual man if you are not giving to songs. I'm telling you. Go and read the book of Revelations. Every time God was about to declare something, and the angels sang a new song. There's something about God is able to release new truth, new revelation through songs. That it is new doesn't mean you've not sung before, but that is the song of the hour for you. So sometimes when people ask us, how did you know it? What God? It was in a song. It's not every time you hear, my son, I am the Almighty God. Yeah, we hear that too, but not all the time. You can trace the movement of the Spirit of God in your life by seeing the songs your spirit is speaking randomly. Please, if you didn't hear it, just write it. Then read it again too. I said, I'm not talking about the song you are trying to remember. Just check what your spirit is speaking randomly. You can see the direction of the Lord. Because your spirit relates directly with the Holy Ghost. It picks those movements and many times captures it in a song. Above all. Above all, your kingdom reign, your kingdom reign. Above all, above all, and I will sing praises to you. Oh God, my strength, and I will sing praises to you. Oh God, you are my strength,
my strength.
My strength,
my strength.
Say, I will sing, oh, I will sing
praises to you. Oh,
Karabashata ladabasa.
My strength.
Listen, when I first sang this song, if you hear it anywhere, it's from Harvest World. But hear me. Those are songs that come out of maybe God wanting me to do something I wasn't comfortable with. And when he finally breaks through with me and I surrender, then the song comes. So I'm explaining something that I understand. For instance, a few years ago, you told me why you are at the Ondo State General Hospital, that if I healed you, you will serve me all your life. I've forgotten. You know, you just thought you are desperate. You, God, if you can change my story, change my family, anything you want, anything you want. Say, anything. Okay now. Release him. Release him. I was diagnosed with hepatitis A. Now, that's a death sentence, in case you don't know. The devil has been after me for a long time. If I were you, you wouldn't marry me. Because I've been marked. Men are very secretive. They won't tell you what is going on in there. Just say, just love me, I love you. You love me, I love you. Love me, JJ. You love me, JJ. They're just, when you marry, now they realize the guy has ancient idols in the house. Chasing him. Ask question. Courtship is not for date, eating out. It's to ask question. How many idols are in your family? Let's know where the prayer will start from. Don't just use this suit to deceive me. You're always praying in the middle of the night. Why? So the Lord's like, okay, now I have need of you. I say, I'm not hearing well. I'm not hearing. You know, your mind, you start telling yourself, your mind is playing games on you. This is the devil. And you know the funny thing, when we're going to start this church, I asked the Lord, you know I don't like this kind of thing. And he said, just do it anyhow. That's what I told him, he said, do it anyhow. Don't even sing, don't pray, just gather, preach and share the grace. I said, so you can even wear jeans. You can wear t-shirt. I said, I like that one. I didn't know it would be like this. I started. After like a year, he just said, why are you dressed like this? I said, what do you mean? You told me I can do it. He said, I changed my mind. Go in and change your dress properly. You know, like, I felt deceived. I said, you are changing the goalpost in the middle of the game. It's okay. So, you look at yourself. I said, but we agreed. He said, I know what I said. Now I am also saying. I'm adding to that one. So that's why I started changing, you know. And because I was working the bank, I was always wearing suit. So it didn't make sense for me to be wearing suit. Am I clear at the bank? It doesn't make sense for me to be wearing suit Monday to Friday. Then Sunday again, it's like I'm at the office. So I have to wear body hug, jeans, trainers, or wear shoe or something. So it didn't make sense. But here I am. Now, when the Lord now came and said, oh, you promised me then that if I healed you, that you will do whatever I want. I said, I said it now, but, you know, that's like, I was in my final year. I was practically dying, and I knew it. I knew it that I was dying. And on that bed, I already made peace with the fact that I was going to die. I'd made peace, but I didn't tell anybody. I don't know if you are there with me now. But when the Lord now said, but I said to you that your covenant with death has been annulled. You know, I was talking to you about the faithfulness of God, which is hinged on the strength of his word. Everything God places his covenant with you on can never be outside his word. So when you disregard God's word, you disregard your visitation, you disregard your mercy. The word of God said, those that regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Another version says, those that regard what? Vanities. Vanities. Do you know what vanities are? Bling, 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 bling. Those things catch your attention. But God, divine things don't get at it. The Lord said, if you live that kind of life, the allocation of mercy from heaven to you, you will lose it. I'm talking about Jonah now. That's what I'm quoting is in Jonah. So the Lord said, look, young man, it's time for you. I need you to leave your job and I want you to come in. So what I did, I now applied in my office to move to marketing. Advantage Market or Premier Market, something like that. And I passed the interview. And they told me I passed. Come on, say God is faithful. But it's not your kind of faithfulness. This is the part two of the message. I said it's not your kind of faithfulness. Because if God tells you, I am faithful, I'll be faithful to you, the least you can say is, amen, I believe. But if God walks you through that statement, I want to show you what faithfulness means. And it takes you on a 3-year journey. You know that faithful is he who has called you. It's 3 years. By the time you go and come back, you will tell this sister, do you know God is faithful? Because your eyes are seeing. For you to understand the faithfulness of God, it will open you up to attacks. It will open you up to challenges. You will be in the midst of people and you will be alone. Then he will be guiding you. Like Papa Devon said, I know the way he walks. The Spirit is... We'll sing it next Sunday. I'll go and rehearse it. That kind of song is not let me compose song. You have seen Pepe. The devil has shown you Shege. So when you now get there, you now say, your spirit is all over me. It's, and when you get to that point, it's not really a song, it's a testimony. Faith is he who has called you. How can you say he is faithful when you have no story? He would have walked you through. Some of you, it was in your wedding when you wanted to get married, you saw his hand. He showed up last minute and covered your shame. So, but that's just an example. I'm talking about the young man in front of you today. Now, as at that time, I was trying to find my way out. So I did an interview. I wanted to move to marketing so that if I was a marketer, I would have more time to be a pastor. Then they informed me, young man, you have passed, congratulations, but due to some reasons, we cannot release your redeployment letter. So God used men to sit on it. But I was in the letter. And I was informed. But I could not do anything. Then I said, okay, I will leave. I was doing Shakara. Then they called me from the head office. Young man, you once applied to the branch operations coordination team, the head office department. We want to move you now. This is a good one, though. The first time I applied there, they told me it's not by application, it's by selection. That's what they told me. You don't have interest in this kind of department. We are the one that will call you and say, come and eat. So now I wanted to leave, and they called me over the phone, and they said to me, we will bypass the authority of your supervisor, and we will move you. Just say yes on the phone. It's like God was waiting, like, what will you tell them? What will you tell them? What's your final answer? And I heard myself said to the person over the phone, it is too late. Hey! The person said, no. Is that not Benga I'm speaking to? Okay, let me speak to you in Yoruba language. Because my boss is not Yoruba. The person said, is your boss being funny? Is he doing something you don't like? Do you want us to move him? Do you want us to do that? I said, no. I said, those who have laid claim over my life are now asking for the life to be presented back. I said, whatever that means, you know. But you should probably know what you talk about. I don't understand what that means. Okay, you know what? Think about it. Call me back tomorrow. It didn't make sense because you're asking me to leave certainty for, in quote, uncertainty. The moment you begin to see anything God says as uncertainty, you are not yet established in the word of God. Apparently, you don't know who God is. God had looked at Moses and he said, why are you disturbing me? Tell the people to go forward. Before them was a Red Sea. Excuse me, have you ever heard anywhere that the sea, a river parted for one man? Now, number two, have you ever seen Moses do that kind of miracle before? You don't gamble with your destiny when you are in front of an ocean and the Egyptians are behind you. They are threatening you in your office. Your wife is threatening to call it quit. And your mom is doing this. Everybody just tearing you. And God is saying, my son, I want you to believe me. He said, God, I don't want to believe. Anything you want to do, do it now. Go to heaven and bombard the place. Say, they should answer me today. Unfortunately, what I'm sharing with you is somebody's life story. Take my job from me. And then he reminded, say, sure, you know I was the one that gave you that job. You know he didn't pass the interview. I did the interview in Antes, the test in Adu Ekiti. I did the interview in Lagos. He said, you know you didn't pass that test. Because you don't know mass. He said, how do you think your name got on the list? He said, so give me the job back. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. I said, The reason why we give ourselves to the word of God is so that when we establish the pattern of faithfulness, then chance one day you can rise up and say, if God walked with Abraham to the point that there was no more doubt in him, If God could walk with Noah, such that he was willing to remain the only man standing for 120 years, building an ark because of what God said. No evidence, no rain has fallen before, just that God said, I will destroy the earth, prepare the ark. Oh, that was all. No manifestation, no miracles, no sign. Listen to me. If you don't get to that point, and you always need miracles to prove that God is with you, you will put yourself in a very dangerous position where the day God chooses not to use miracles, you'll be stranded. If he chooses to use wisdom, you will not appreciate it. Ah, this Baba self. Ah. So I said, since you want to take my job, you know it's my job. But when he gave me, I shared testimony that God blessed me with a job. Now he wants to take the job. And I said, my job. So I came to the altar that Sunday and I dropped my ID card there. I said, I've given, just know that it was you that took this ID card away from me. Meanwhile, the Bible says, God will not give you something and take it back. But you have taken this one back. You know what it felt like? The first Monday, I woke up and I didn't have to go to work. I was feeling sick. Like, what is wrong with me? I came out of the compound, everywhere was calm. Like, wow. Oh, boy. No. This cannot be my life. Ah! I said, God, what do I do? Say, you just resigned. So, go and rest. You need to rest. You know, we are laughing about it now. It's not joking. This is somebody's life. The reason why many of you are struggling is not because God has not established a pattern of faithfulness with you, but you have not been considerate enough. You've not been thoughtful enough to see all those points and remember them. When I was just married, we used to have issues, though, me and my wife. We are so, like, you know, right now we are like just friends, you know. But initially, you know, when you want to get married, you are looking at other things. For instance, as a brother, and most brothers will not admit, but me, I can say it. All those brothers say, ah, God told me. You know, as a brother, you are not expected to be fornicating. All the brother is waiting for is, let them join you, go and fornicate. That's all is on his mind. I'm telling you, they will not say, they'll be doing like they are holy. Okay. If God says from today, no more, you know, fornication, no more nothing. Many brothers will say, ah, God is calling me to be like Paul. God is calling me to, you will be hearing different ministries that will be coming out. Because these brothers are not sincere. But when your eye clear, you will now remember that you still have a dangerous temper. One day, my wife went to report me to God. I'm telling you, she went to pray that this man, if you don't do something about him. Somebody was praying in this church. Ah, God, if you can just give me a husband like Pastor Gwinga. Ah, it's a good prayer. But I didn't just arrive here. I grew. But my original version, you may not really like, you may like the sanguine part, but the melancholy part, you may not be able to deal with it. Because sometimes you just get me, I just walk past you. So she went to report me to God. And instead of God to say, he will warn me or deal with me, God rebuked her. So it was when they rebuked her, she came to me to say, she doesn't understand what's going on in this house. I said, you went to tell her, you don't do that. You don't do that. Me, I don't do shakara. Say, you don't do that. Now, if you're a brother and you heard what I said, and you now begin to shakara your wife, that maybe the day your wife reports you, God will now come with her. Where is the boy? Where is the boy? Lie down, let me flog you. So don't count your luck. Just behave yourself and treat. Do you know the funny thing? What my wife complained about, I was actually wrong. What was upsetting her was my fault. But God refused to break that protocol. Because there's a thin line between correction and dishonor. Very thin line. You won't know when your correction has turned to something else. And you are, oh my God. I don't know if somebody is with me now. So right now, we may be in the house, and we may even be talking 7 p.m., 8 p.m., and she's not even asking me what I want to eat. You understand? It's just when I tell her, are you hungry? But she couldn't try it first year. What? Okay, so what are we doing in this house? You're asking me if I will eat. No, I will not eat. I'll be eating sand. I'll drink garri. No, I will not eat. I will not eat. Okay, where is the... Let me cook myself since I'm hungry. Some people don't know I used to be in the drama department in my church. I'm just telling you that... Don't worry about that, your husband that is always behaving like Adolf Hitler. Leave him. After 10 years, he said we arrange. Because you get tired. The lady I even shouted, she just leave you. Go and be watching Netflix. We want it always there. We grew. Because the moment you are two different people in a part, you have to adjust. That adjustment is what most people don't want. When they say, God, tell me if she's my husband. So that God will be the one coming to manage your home for you. Why now? We gave you wife. We'll still come and teach you how to take care of the woman. And that's why some brothers cannot propose to some women, because they think they're a lot of baggage. You see this Bible that many of us refuse to read, that we are looking for 5 minutes video on Facebook. You are looking for 5 minutes short video where you want to know the secret of that man's power. It's in that... Those of you that are there, in that window, you know yourself. It's good to listen to short videos. I'm just saying that what I'm telling you is what a pastor will tell you, not a prophet, not an apostle. It's a pastor that will tell you to be patient, to take care of your wife. I said to a particular brother who reported his wife to me, marriage of about 20 years. And I said to him, go and take care of your wife. Because according to the Bible, she can hinder your prayers simply by wishing it. You know, God does everything for balance. He gave the man the headship, gave the woman the power to restrain you in the spirit realm. If you like, keep shouting, I'm the head of this house. You will know you are the head of nothing. For balance. If your wife is upset with you, and she chooses to maintain that position against you, what did the scripture teach us? He said, deal with them according to wisdom. Wisdom does not mean she's weak. Wisdom means manage her. Alpha now, I don't beg you now. Waiting now. Mabinu. Said you are always saying the same thing every day. You are always doing. You still do it tomorrow. I'm sorry, sorry. Pizza uncle. Say pizza uncle. Or coleslaw. Domino's. What's the ice cream? Cold Stone. Don't just beg with mouth. Or it will not work. You do something. So I said to him, because your wife looks at you, she's upset. And just by wishing it, your prayers will not... That is too much power for a person. The ability to block a man of God's prayers. So don't marry any woman you cannot respect. Because by okay. And when she tells you okay, it's not okay. Don't go out. I want to go out. Okay, don't go out. That's the meaning. Go and sit down. I'm not joking. Because people say, wow, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Go and beg this woman. I'm telling you, people don't know. You just, see, just open that Bible and read it. The day my wife prayed for me, we are not married, just about to get married, and I told her, I'm ready to walk. I was living in Ife there doing my master. I said, are you ready? She said, are you ready to walk now? I said, I'm ready. Do you want to come to Lagos now? I said, yes. Because me, I was threatening that. You come and meet me in Ife. I can't live in Lagos. There's too much noise. Everybody's screaming. You come to Ife, Ife, Ife. Because I've done an interview. I passed to be a lecturer in Ife, and I like the, if you've gone to the lecturer's quarters, very decent. You know, it's like human beings are there. So I like the idea. Like you go to where your husband wants to go to. So she left me. I was sweating there. The day I told her, I said, I don't know any job I see now. She now asked me, are you ready to work? Say, are you ready to come later? She says, okay, you'll get a job. To God who made me, I got a job in next month in Oceanic Bank. Nobody asked me the Y, the X. Nobody asked me, what was the financial principle? Nobody asked me, do you know our MD, Cici Library? Do you know this one? Do you know that? Yes. Congratulations. Go and do medicals. Before they even knew that I didn't go to school, I've resumed. I'm not joking. There's a lot of conflict in families and people are spiritualizing it. Why did you marry her if you cannot respect her? How can you have a wife at home and she's not free to talk? She's afraid. She doesn't want to offend you. Who are you? Then the day you will enter gutter, that's how she will look, because that you're a shouter. Everybody know in the area that you're a shouter. You shout for a living. Now you are not telling her, why didn't you tell me? You have not been listening to me. All this unhealthy expectation. I cannot marry because she's tall. I cannot marry because she's short. Excuse me. You see, you at the end of the day, that thing you are looking for, you will see it. Because your younger brother's children will call you uncle. It doesn't make sense. Oh, she's 1 year older, and so what? Are we using it to collect scholarship? If you want to marry, marry. Let's know who is left. If you want to marry, marry. What's your problem? Because you now make God look unfaithful. Meanwhile, it is your rebellion and this your African madness that the devil is just everywhere. Put your life on the word. What does the word of God say? Simple. You will read the word of God, then go and read Instagram. You want to be a slave queen? You will be, but without husband. Everything there is filtered. The issue here is not whether you can be fine. We already know you are fine. What we are saying is that even if you are so fine, we've never seen it before. You know, some people don't believe this is the Bible I'm preaching now. Is after you have one child, your body cannot remain the same. Whether you love her or not, after that first child, you will know. Because what you loved before was her shape. Because you are always, the Spirit says, God will perfect your spirit, soul, and body. But the only thing God is perfecting is the body. That's the way you guys interested in. You judge a lady because you think she's short. You don't have that kind of power, because it was in God's creative wisdom to say that this is how she will be. The moment in your mind you take that position, you have become an enemy of God. You have taken yourself backwards. Just say, she's not the kind of person I like to get married. The moment you are giving flimsy excuses, your journey is far. And I've seen people say, I can never marry her. I can never marry her. He will never hold my hand in public. He will never do it. He will never do that. Later, the girl married somebody and the guy was treating her right. She transformed. She became, you know, it's like she just, some people married, they just become beautiful. The brother was still there. See your life. The guy has moved on. And the guy came to share testimony. I want to thank God for my wife. She's a wonderful person. And you two are there. You are clapping. Shameless man. Clapping, clapping. The lady you are supposed to get married to, you are not clapping for her testimony. Why are people not married? Why are people not married? People just like to live in self-deception. You are waiting for something that doesn't exist because you are not planted in the word. All this issue, let's believe God and move on. When I got married, I didn't have a car. Neither did I have a spoke or a tire. I didn't have nothing. But I knew I would have. But I didn't have. The first car I drove, I almost drove it into the gutter. It was my car, but I didn't know how to drive. People are just, please, it's not enough for us to come and shout and scream. Let's allow God's word to be the center point from which our life flows. If all of you that are married now want to be married before the end of this year, it's possible. If you don't have a clear face, you don't have to always mask it up with makeup. Then later you marry becomes problem. Guys say, this is not a person I married. Yeah, I'm the person. Just that doesn't make sense. God's faithfulness is being ridiculed, not by Satan many times, but by his children. And let me tell you, faithfulness is a weapon. God's faithfulness is a weapon. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 to 7. I don't know why I'm talking like this. I have a powerful message. But somebody here is prompting. Sincerely, all this I just said is not part of my message. But somebody somewhere, as I'm answering somebody's. This is the story of Miriam and Aaron. And in case you don't know who Sister Miriam is, she was the one who saved Moses' life. But there are always those people who God uses for you. They now want to control you. Somebody here. Now, this one, we have to be very fast. We are going to verse 7. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman. They didn't like his wife. It's the same thing in African countries. It's the same thing in Nigeria. It's the same thing in Ohafia. It's the same thing in Ijebuode. Shagamu. All of them. Look at them here. Because she's a black woman. Go back, Ejo. They didn't like his wife. He's not an. Even since 1840, people have been rejecting their brother's wives. Wow. It's not only in Igbo land that they kill the boy, take away the property, push the girl out. That's the only storyline they have in Igbo films. It started here. This is where they got it from. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Give me verse 2, quickly. And they said, "Had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, has he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Hello, do you know what they are saying here? Do you notice that Pastor Binga, when he preaches for long? Why can't he be disciplined? I'm trying to describe what they did. Should be disciplined. You can be like Pastor Sam, preach your message, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, you are done. People are blessed. Or you listen to the psychologist in America. Joel Austin. Preach, sharp. Everybody's fine, go. And it's 40,000. This one, preach. 100. What's wrong with him? You people should be talking to him. People are going to work. And the Lord heard it. Excuse me. What they accused Moses of, was he guilty? No, he was guilty. Did he marry a black woman? Did God permit them to marry outside Israel? So the man of God himself was the first person to break the law. But he's still the pastor. Verse 3. Now the man of Moses was very meek. Moses, what you did? Say, I'm sorry. We are going to remove you in this church. This church. You cannot be the pastor again. Because you cannot be breaking the word of God and you still be pastor. I'm telling you why many times when pastors fall into sin, and they cannot easily restored. It was not because of the noise in the market. It was because of their church members. He was meek above all men that were upon the face of the earth. To be meek means that you have the power to execute certain things, but you are able to refrain. So, meekness is like corporate humility. Corporate. You have the ability to use the sword. Next verse. And the Lord spake how? When he will talk, you won't know. There are people suffering for things they said 5 years ago. Now, they can't remember. He said, suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, I want to see three of you. Please, let's come for pastor's council meeting. It's like it's been a while we met. Let's come and go. Oh, God bless you. God bless my children. Miriam. I know they to see you again. So I prayed yesterday for seven. I said, I know they to see you. The moment God starts saying he has not been seeing you, and you are praying 7 hours every day, come on, and they came out. Ravakada, man of God, how's your zone? Lucky zone. You are doing well. You people are growing. Hallelujah. We are talking. Give me next verse. Oga want to talk. But when the Lord invited them, they heard a voice. But when he came, how did he come? Brrr, brrr, pillar of cloud. If you are not afraid, that moment you start hearing like all those Igbo film. You know you are in trouble. He came in a pillar of cloud, everywhere covered with glory. Who among you is Aaron? Eh? Do you know that the journey of ministry in Aaron's life did not start with Aaron being interested? It started with the call of God upon Moses. Yes, Aaron would not have had a calling, yes, if not for... Now, God say, who is Aaron? Eh? I didn't ask to be appointed, though. I don't like the way you're even mentioning my name. It's like something's wrong. Aaron and Miriam, say both of them came forward. Come, my brother. Come. We are Aaron and... So he is Moses. So this is how I come. You know, the way we do, when we go for primary, we'll now be speaking in tongues. Rakabadabada. God wants to speak. Like, we want to pray so that we can receive the prophecy very well. So we don't know. God didn't come, Moses, in our mind. They want to remove him. They want to remove him. You notice that when they called, it's only two of us. His tenure has expired. My time is up. So we are praying. So God will see that we are filling the thing so that he can choose us. Then we will show the world what it means to be a leader. Because this one is very weak. And they care. Next verse, verse 6. Okay. I want to say something. Peradventure. You see that word, if there be, means peradventure. I really don't know much about two of you, but I want to assume you are prophet. Now, let's assume that two of you are called. Now, let's assume. The moment God said that your name has been removed from every diary register in the heavens that you have ministry, he's just saying that let's assume you are out. Say, let's assume that if there's a prophet amongst you, I hope you know Miriam was a prophet. Yes, when they crossed the sea, who broke into a prophetic song? It was Miriam. Moses didn't know how to sing. It's not his area. He doesn't know many things. But he can create problem. Eh? But he doesn't know many things. Area must Elia. He will break into some people will dance. Anytime Miriam didn't worship. Hi. God. Oh, they should be allowing her to minister more. Pastor should be allowing other ministers to preach more. Eh? It's like Miriam. If there's anyone amongst you, I will like to talk to him. In dreams and what? And vision. That means you are still a small boy. That's your calling. You see, you don't know how God sees people. You have to be careful the way you touch the anointed. You have, when I say the anointed, I mean including your fellow believer. Because they have Christ. If you have any issue, go to her. I'm angry with you. What? You said to. This cho is what created problem here. They started by saying, is it the only one God has called? Hey, no. It started like we are just sharing fellowship. It started with like a regular conversation, but God heard it. He now called pastors conference worldwide. If there's any of you that is seeing vision, I will speak to him through dream or what? Or vision. Next verse. Hello. Wait. Verse 6. If there's anyone among you that is a prophet, please sit down, sir. If there is, but look at how we refer to Moses. What did he call him? My servant. Because he's always serving. After they finish service, Moses will go back to his knees, pray, and will spend his time worshiping. Always at the feet of Christ. When he's on the road, listening to messages, always praying. He's always trying to bridge the gap between the madness in Lagos and his journey with the Lord. He's taking deliberate steps because he knows Lagos will not allow you to serve God. He knows. So he doesn't download all those dangerous songs. There's one song I heard on Instagram, I say dangerous. He just program your environment to be spiritually active. He said, my servant is not so. What is the mark of distinction over Moses? He said, he is what? He is faithful in all my house. Where is God's house? God says that when you see people like Moses, the church on earth, which was Israel, and in the heavens, where there are angelic beings and spirits, God said Moses is faithful, more faithful than everybody. You know why? The angels don't have option but to do what they are doing. Moses has an option, yet he chooses to do it. Wow. Next verse. He said, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Do you know what mouth to mouth means? The description of that is like in a kiss format. That's like deeply intimate, very intimate way. So if God talks to Moses, he doesn't just talk, he could put his hands around him. So what do you think about that place we are going? Very intimate. You, dream and vision. This one, I have a personal relationship with him. The bottom line at the end of the day, God said to Miriam, and this is where I'm going. That's why I say faithfulness is a weapon. What bailed this guy out of this problem was that God saw him as a personally faithful person. Are you with me? God's verdict over Moses was not that he was anointed. It was that Moses was a faithful man. Because the accusation they brought, he was guilty. When they said to Elisha, go on, you bald-headed man. Was he a lie? Was he not an Akpari? His anointing could raise the dead, but could not grow his hair. The anointing can pray for those who need children, yet him and his wife don't have children. The pastor will pray for others. They will get 4 million naira contract. They will get 300 million naira contract. He himself doesn't have 1 million in his account. His anointing is not complete. Yet you continue to serve. Last year, I had a challenge paying my house rent. December, it was David that knows all my secrets. And I was signing a check to pay for the house of refuge, renewal of their rent. Yet, I was discussing with David how I would pay my rent. But he didn't look down. He didn't say I didn't have anointing again. God now asked Miriam, if you offend your father, and your father spit on your face, that's like a shame on you. What will you do? Say you will go outside the house for 7 days. Oh yeah, out. The moment she started going out, she was covered in leprosy. Mama, that now this same chapter, that story there. That's to let you know how God can go all the way to defend you if he can see your faithfulness and your personal commitment to him. God could have killed that girl that day. He pitied her and gave her leprosy. Do you notice God did not deal with Aaron? Did you ask why? Do you know why, sir? I will tell you. This is why you don't play with the Lord's anointed. People don't know. Whether you say it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, I want to tell you something today. There are certain rules God himself cannot break.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He cannot break. If he breaks it, he will expose himself.
Yes,
when they came before the Lord, this guy is the high priest. The high priest must always be dressed in his full regalia with the ephod and all those, bearing the 12 tribes of Israel, the stones. My time is up. Oh God. I'm preaching another meeting by 11, or ministering somewhere in the next 10 minutes. So when they came for that council, the high priest must always dress in his regalia.
Yes,
so he came. If God touched him, he would have touched Israel. Because he was bearing Israel in intercession. Do you understand what I'm saying? A man that, those stones, he bears them, they sew those stones on his breastplate here. If you touch the high priest, you have touched the powerhouse of the nation. If God touches that man, Israel will be destroyed. So because he was wearing the cloak of the high priest, he was clothed in intercession. He was a man given to praying for people. He was a man given to presenting people's case ahead of his own. Are you seeing what I'm talking about here? Because sometimes people say, we don't know why that man, God is always protecting him. There are things you do that, oh my God. Oh God. Every 3 hours, 3 hours, only about you. Start living a life of intercession. The moment God saw the boy, he touched the girl, he could not touch him. God was waiting for the day they would take off that cloth. The Bible says we are kings and priests unto God. Many of the sins you are committing, and it looks like there's no repercussion, is because of the garment on you. The day you will cross, Giafara, how do you explain this? The day you will cross the bridge, and God's eye will not get there, the enemy will come. There are people that are fornicated and they're still speaking tongues. They feed prayers of God. One day, you will cross that bridge and cross to the other side. And God's eye will not get there and they will hold you. Do you know God eventually caught up with that guy? His own was even worse. Yes. Everybody has forgotten the matter. Did you hear what I just said? Yes, the day God caught up with this boy. This is the elder brother of Moses. The girl is also the elder sister. The boy they are shouting about is the baby brother. The one that they will not keep when we are talking, don't talk. You keep quiet. Your elders are talking. You don't talk. You have to be, you are not disciplined, you are not trained. Mommy's at home. All those things, God did not look at it all. What God saw was that this one is my servant. Touch not my anointed. Saul touched the garment and mistakenly tore it. That was the end of his kingdom. If you understand what I'm telling you, you will not need to, you'll be feeling pity for people who go out to mock you and try to bring you to disrepute. Because the day they will open their file, God could not touch his servant because he was representing the people. But there was a day God now woke up. Say, today, now today. Aaron, call his son. Today we will disgrace you. God, even though Moses was interceding, there are things you touch, God doesn't hear anything again. You touch a fellow believer who is in Christ. It's not just to ask for forgiveness in your room. Because depending on the rank of that person spiritually, you might have beaten more than you could chew. I'm telling you. Aaron, Eleazar, all of you come. Take off the garment from his neck. That's what God said. Take off the garment from his neck. What I'm trying to do is to spoil you into a deliberate decision that you will rather be wrong in front of everybody but be right with God. Once you get to that position where you are willing to be right before God and wrong before every other person, you have entered a contract. The moment they removed the priestly garment, God did not need to touch him. His vengeance consumed him and he died. What are the keys I'm presenting to you here? There are things that you can do under God's guidance that protects you from the evil in the city. One of it is your personal commitment to anything that has to do with God without anybody's permission. When I left the bank, everybody apart from two or three people that worked with me or that I knew, I blocked them on WhatsApp. All of them. I've burned that bridge. I blocked all of them except two or three people. And if they are hearing now, yes, I blocked you. Because this is a personal destiny decision. Yes, don't chat me. Don't tell me, they want to increase salary. When I was going, there's one money they normally pay us in November, 13th month. That money is like blood money because it's much, like blood money. You just get one. It's a dangerous alert. And it normally comes when you are walking. You don't have time to look at your phone. Bro, you just see the thing. Hey! I'm not joking. If, for instance, you are earning 200,000 every month, 200,000, you now see 500,000. Not your salary, this allowance. And just people calling the messenger. Go to the place. Go and buy me. You know they are. So you say, why are people sending people? Just check your phone. Ah, what is you don't have. You don't have. So when I was leaving the bank, I was thinking that, this money. Hey, ah, God, you not try. This money. The money is much. Hey, wait, Paul. You know, since I left, it has never occurred to me. And I'm being honest. So when you hear those songs like, my heart is your... Those are the place the song came out from when I first sang it. Me saying, to, kuku ki me. Anywhere we go with you. My heart is yours, my soul we gaze. So we'll just keep our gaze on your love. So that is saying, I just give you my love. Shem, can you still marry me? Oh yeah, let's go. Let's go and work for God. Ah. Personal faithfulness and evaluation, regular evaluation of your work with God. It's not anybody's message now. Just me and you saying, I'm not faithful in evangelism. I'm not faithful in spending time with the Lord. Not reading Bible to preach, just in your heart, meditating on the Lord. I'm not in good fellowship with my brother. I have something against my sister. This personal effort at faithfulness. Look at the way Moses came out of retirement and served the Lord. Then you say, but I'm not doing too well. I can actually do better if I can reduce chatting by 2 hours. Okay. Because people say there's no time, but there's chatting time. There was a time in my office where I was working for 7 days a week, 6 months. I was closing 11 p.m. Sunday night, coming back to work Monday morning, 6 a.m. For 6 months like that. And people are complaining. We are tired. I want to go to the hospital. 9 months later, people were having children. People say they are stressed, but we are doing baby dedication. You understand? So, it is what it is. Amen. It is what it is. It is what it is. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Your personal dedication, your allegiance. Can it come? Let me close here. Every real man of God says finally 7 times. Every real man of God says finally, finally, finally. If you say finally once, you didn't have message. Now, that's not in the Bible. It's my own name. So this is God. These are the situations in your life. These are the things putting a question mark on God's faithfulness in your life. These are the things people are saying. And then you are here looking at all the unanswered prayers. Looking at all the things that are going on that you really wish God would just say something. Do you know those kind of situations? You just wish God would just, if you talk so that I can rest. All this up and down. Say something. Say something. So in the midst of that confusion, you see the Lord standing here. And God says, young man, what will you do? And then you say, my heart is yours. You queue up behind him. My soul will... As you are doing, you are shedding tears. On your love, my heart is yours. My soul we get, and we wait in case you want to change your mind. My heart is your friend. Will come. What are you doing there? Your mates are going to Canada. Hey. My heart, Stanford, Australia, New Jersey. God, you did me like this. You begin to look at your life as if it's walking away from you. You look at one after the other, broken relationships. How that you should be married and having children. And God is saying, what will you do? On your... When I don't have answers to my question, my heart is yours. My soul we get. Are you not going to follow them? You have the words of eternal life. My heart... I am not too sure, but I will stay here. I really don't have all the answers, but I will stay here. I will stay here. Yeah, my heart. My heart is your, my soul. Oh my God. On your love, my heart is yours, my soul regained on your love. You know what? When I enter that mode, all my problems did not go away. But I started seeing less of them because my eyes were somewhere else. I was looking at somewhere else. And God asked a question. If you are the only servant of God left, can you stand for me? Can I send you anywhere? Can I trust you? I won't take away your passions wanting to go in the other direction, but can you make an intelligent decision to stay with me? Whether you'll be rich, whether you'll be poor, can you take a gamble on me? Yeah, you don't answer that question with yes. You answer it in your heart. It's just like saying, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest. If Peter that day had turned away from the Lord, if Peter that day had said, this man that said we should be eating his flesh, let's leave him. I can bet you Thomas will go. I can bet you Judas will be the first to go. I can bet you even, do you know that John the Beloved, the one that the scripture said was always in the bosom of the master. Do you know that when Jesus called John, he was a teenager. John was a child. You need to check history. There was a reason why Jesus loved him. Because among them, he was the youngest. The John that will later come, that which was in the beginning, that which will speak to you, that which you have seen, that which you have heard, that which you have handled of the word of life, that we present to you, the one that was on the island of Patmos, and was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That one, when Jesus was on earth, he was a young boy. Do we have a teenager here? I don't think so. You can imagine a 70-year-old boy. Every time they are talking, just come and hug Jesus. Peter can't try it. Agbalagba. He can't try it. But it was that John. That John could have been moved by Peter's disobedience. Make a decision to be personally faithful to the Lord. Go back home and write a list of those things that are clearly stated in scripture. Those things that the Lord is interested in. Like fellowship. Like communion. Like prayers. Like studying the word of God. Like sharing fellowship with your believer. Like staying away from malice and gossiping and drawing near to the Lord. Those things are not a waste. Because the day they will bring an accusation against you. The day there must be a reason why the heavens will say it doesn't matter. There must be a reason. The reason why you will not fornicate is not because you can't do it and get away with it. It's because your heart is gazing somewhere else. Hellfire is not enough to keep a man from fornicating. The final key in that point, there was a reason God could not touch the priest. Because he was always dressed for service. He was dressed for his assignment. He was always ready to serve. Even though he did the wrong thing, but he was always ready to serve. He was always ready to put others ahead. He was always ready to intercede. He was always ready to share of his worldly good. He was always ready to be at the beck and the call of God. What it means to wait on the Lord. It's not necessarily fasting. It is to be at the beck and the call of God. Because he was always dressed, they could not take him away immediately. Faithfulness is a weapon. That was what was used in that matter. He said, Moses is faithful in all my house. Tonight or this morning, as you go into the week, nobody can force you to be faithful to Lord, to the Lord. But you can think and you can make a decision. Then let us stand and see the salvation of the Lord over those who are faithful. Let us wait and see the salvation of the Lord. Maybe it's worse we actually fail over your life. Let us wait and see. You will now realize that there are certain things the doctor cannot fix. It is only the power of God that can fix it. It was the power of God that put Isaac in Abraham's hand. It was the power of God that put John the Baptist in the hands of his parents. There are certain things only God can do. My heart is yours, my soul we gaze on your table. My heart is yours, my soul. Say, my heart. This is our song of consecration. Come on. Rise on your feet. Let's pray. Say, my heart is yours, my soul.